everyone. This is John Marks from CopsAlive.com, and welcome to another edition of our Cops Alive Audio Bulletin. Audio Bulletin is our way of bringing you the most up-to-date information to help you and the people you love survive this career in law enforcement. And I am very honored today to be participating in the first ever Safe Call Now Public Safety Conference in Seattle, Washington. And it has been an outstanding day, and I've got a chance to grab my guest, who is Richard Worthy, the president of Eagle Force Academy at Serenity Ranch, and also Summer Sky Treatment Facility, both in Texas. And Richard is doing some very cool things, specifically in the area of treatment for law enforcement officers specifically. And Richard, I thank you for what you're doing, and I want to thank you for being here to talk to us and tell us about it.
Well, you're quite welcome, and it's my honor and my privilege to be here.
Well, thank you. Can you tell me, Eagle Force Academy, this is a brand new, not quite open yet, facility. It's an amazing dream. Please tell me what you've got in mind and what's happening.
Well, Eagle Force Academy is a treatment facility for substance use disorder and related dual diagnosis that will be dedicated strictly to police officers, whether they are hired, fired, or retired, as well as dispatchers.
Okay.
And our counseling staff will primarily be former officers that went on to get their chemical dependency licensing. Our psychologist has had over 30 years experience with a major police force as head of their psych services. Our psychiatrist, medical director, has had several tours of duty in Iraq dealing with our troops, PTSD and suicide issues, which are not at all unlike our troops on the street here at home.
You know, God bless you for what you're doing. You've said all the right things. I know that it's hard to get cops to acknowledge they've got a problem. It's hard to get them into treatment. And, you know, those that do want a sense of trust. They want to know that the people they're putting their trust in have been there. They want to know that they will protect their integrity and their identity and their confidentiality. And I heard all the right things there, that you're really putting together a complete package targeted specifically for people in law enforcement so they can recover and get back on the job.
It is absolutely, exclusively for the law enforcement community. We intentionally are not including firefighters and emergency medical service, correctional officers at this time.
Okay.
Because they are different cultures.
Yep.
And it is our plan to, on our 147-acre ranch, to carve out a section for firefighters and emergency medical, and then to follow that with carving out a section to create a facility for correctional officers in due course. And there'll be times when we bring them together, volleyball tournaments and what have you, and for speakers and what have you,
right,
and for entertainment that we will have coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, though, they will be in their own separate facility and just amongst themselves, and particularly in group discussions and group therapy.
I think that's important. They kind of, I agree with you, they're similar but different, and I think everybody would feel more comfortable sort of, at least in the beginning part of their treatment, probably opening up to people that they know have been there doing the same job and having the same background. So I think that's probably a great idea.
Well, there are some facilities, and I applaud them, in the country that have public safety programs.
Mm-hmm.
We just had a unique situation where we were able to create this and totally dedicate it to the police officers. The man that sold us the ranch was very reasonable in his price.
Well, that's good.
Everything fell together, and I'm not one that wears my religion on my sleeve, but this has been a God thing from day one.
That's great. You know, I've seen pictures, and with your help, I'll get some pictures from you and put them up on the website. But paint us a picture of what people can expect if they come for treatment at either Eagle Force, or you can talk to me about Summer Sky also, but I'm just thinking of Eagle Force.
Yes, Eagle Force is the main point of focus at this point. Summer Sky has been in business 25 years and has treated over 10,000 patients during that time. And the importance of it is that families of officers go through just as much, sometimes maybe even more, stress at home, and it results sometimes in issues with which we deal.
Yeah.
And so we want to be able to help the family too in that regard.
Okay.
But Eagle Force is specifically for treatment of the officer, be they male or female.
Okay. Yeah, I thank you for differentiating that, because I kind of lumped them in there together, and I appreciate you mentioning that. So Eagle Force is a brand new concept that's due to open in January of 2011. Is
correct.
That correct?
Correct.
So paint a picture for me what this place is like, because I've seen the pictures. It looks just, you know, I want to come there, but I guess I have to get myself into treatment first.
No, we will let you okay. We'll let you come and
I want to come visit. Yeah, there we go.
No, it's really just a very peaceful setting. We refer to it as being in the middle of nowhere, yet close to everywhere.
I like that.
If you drew crosshairs across the state of Texas, we would pretty well be the bullseye. And we're in the hill, the foothills of the hill country of Texas. I mean,
okay.
I won't lie to people and tell them that they are actually in the hill country, but we've got lots of rolling hills. We're 6.5 miles east out of the town of Evant, Texas,
okay.
E-V-A-N-T, and it's a town of less than 400 people. You don't see anything except cows and horses for 6.5 miles, and every now and then you'll see a pickup truck going down the road. Whenever you're on the ranch, you don't see a light from any building anywhere.
Wow.
The only light at night are the God's lights above with the moon and stars. And it you'll drive in, and having gone to the University of Texas has nothing to do with this, but
you're going
to
slip that in, aren't you?
You will see several longhorn cattle, longhorn steers as you drive in, which is kind of symbolic of Texas and frankly, I think symbolic of law enforcement, because you've got to be tough and rugged and be able to endure some very hard times, and that's what the longhorn steer was all bred for, was, you know, the tough ranges, and so I think it's symbolic of law enforcement. But
I like it. It sets the tone, and I love it.
But we will have art therapy studio, music therapy studio, a very well-equipped physical fitness facility working in conjunction with the kinesiology department of Tarleton State University, which, unfortunately, being the Longhorn that I am, is an adjunct of Texas A&M University, one of our biggest rivals.
Uh-huh.
But you know, when it comes to treatment, all differences are set aside. And whatever we can do, even swallow our pride and work with Aggies, we will do for the sake of the law enforcement community.
Well, thank you. And let me I want to just step aside for a second, because I know that those of people listening might be hearing some noise and stuff in the background. So let me just talk about that for a second. You know, I said we were just at we just finished up the first Safe Call Now Public Safety Conference. We are in the Eastside Church in Bothell, Washington. And the facility has graciously allowed us to have some space here so we could do this interview, because we are both here, one from Texas, one from Colorado. And this is Cops Alive first live interview. We do most of our work on the telephone or on Skype, and so it's a treat for me to be able to talk to you about this. But bringing us together, Sean Riley from Safe Call Now knew that this was an important gathering, and it was an important opportunity for us to talk. And so we might be blessed by some music in the background, and more people are coming and going around us, but we will persevere, because this is important that law enforcement professionals know that this resource is there for them. So can we talk a little bit in the tough part of this? I mean, it's a beautiful facility with some outstanding credentialed people that are going to operate it. But the tough thing is we got to get people there. And, you know, that's what we talked about all day today here is, you know, how do we get people into treatment? How do we convince them? And so share with me some thoughts about your vision about, you know, why you brought this to be and your hope for what's going to happen.
Well, the genesis of Eagle Force Academy was a phone call from Sergeant Billy Mitchell, who is the director of the peer assistance team For the Fort Worth Police Department, and I say these things because they're very public knowledge, and mm-hmm. so I'm not sharing any confidentialities at all.
Okay.
But in February of this year, we received a call from Sergeant Mitchell, and he had a Summer Sky brochure in his office that his predecessor, Jim Halk, had started the peer assistance program, and he had retired and left one of our brochures laying on a corner desk. And the peer assistance program for Fort Worth was very active, but candidly, they were having a tough time getting those in authority above them to be proactive with addressing the issues that the officers that present themselves to the officers dealing with drug and alcohol in particular, and prescription drugs, which is so common, really.
Yep.
Not just amongst the police community, but lots of injuries, lots of wrecks, lots of motorcycle wipeouts,
yep.
Gunshot wounds, you know, climbing over fences, and I mean, just all kinds of situations, and that result in addiction to prescription meds. But Fort Worth had an incident in late December of 2009. Where an undercover officer was, and I'll use the word allegedly because it is still in litigation.
Okay.
Being the lawyer I am, I'll have to, which I started my career as a prosecutor.
We won't. Okay, I was going to say we won't hold that against.
Yeah,
you.
Thank you. But they'd had a situation where an undercover officer had allegedly been drinking in an undercover capacity and had exceeded his limits. And then adjourned to a cop's birthday party at one of the after-hours cops bars,
mm-hmm.
And then allegedly exceeded his own personal limits to a great extent, and then estimated going approximately twice the rate of speed in the middle of the morning, T-boned a 26-year-old mother of two
in a
city car, and she was killed.
Oh.
Needless to say, everybody and their brother is getting sued.
Yeah.
And you can't just fire a lawsuit and make it go away.
Right.
Which, unfortunately, I'm finding that the attitude of so many, and thank God not all, but the attitude of so many departments is just to turn their head the other way, hope that nothing happens, and if it does, some career-ending event, just fire the officer and be done with it.
Yep.
Which is such a waste of, I mean, from a fiscal responsibility standpoint, if nothing else, is such a waste of money. It's estimated, I've had estimates from the Dallas Police Department that it takes $300,000 investment to take an officer from the academy to being worth a darn on the street.
Yep.
And $500,000 to replace a 5-year officer and $1 million to replace a 10-year officer. And, you know, we worry about changing out transmissions in our vehicles and doing engine repair and painting metal to keep it from rusting. Why we have not been more proactive in preserving the most important asset,
yeah.
our human assets, is beyond me.
Yeah.
But there has been, Billy approached us about whether we would be interested at Summer Sky of carving out a section and sleep the officers separately and feed them separately and counsel them separately with the hopes of protecting their anonymity and confidentiality, because that mm-hmm. is one of the big drawbacks and one of the big barriers to officers coming into treatment is they don't want to, for many reasons, many of them valid reasons, some of them not so valid, but for many reasons, find it very difficult to talk about their life as a police officer with Joe Blow public.
Yep.
And
it's intimidating.
And frankly, Joe Blow doesn't like to talk about his lifestyle in front of cops.
Yep.
And so you wind up with a group therapy session where everybody's sitting on the opposite sides of the room not talking to each other.
Yeah, arms crossed and nobody's talking. That isn't going to help.
And so the more I thought about it, though, I called Sergeant Mitchell back and said, Billy, I said, this just isn't going to work. I mean, we can do what you're thinking about, but the more unmarked we try to make them, the more marked they will be. Yeah. Kind of like an unmarked squad car. I can spot one a mile away.
Yep, everybody can.
And I had already been looking at this ranch in Evant, Texas, in terms of converting it to an adolescent male facility. And the idea came to me from above that there are other facilities that treat adolescents, but there is no other facility in the United States of America that is exclusively dedicated to treating cops and cops only.
Yep.
And if we were to want to do something truly, truly worthwhile with all the rippling effects that helping our police officers has in society, the most meaningful thing we could do would be to create an atmosphere that isn't a vacation, but it will be very much a resort, very serene, and very dedicated to physical fitness and mental fitness and spiritual fitness. In fact, our chapel sits on top of a hill, and we incorporate many facets of the 12-step program in our treatment program.
Okay.
And there are 12 steps up to our chapel, not unintentionally.
Good thinking.
And we set on 12 acres, our licensed facility is on 12 acres out of the 147-acre ranch.
Uh-huh.
And so...
Well, you're carving out all the numerically correct things to make this a success.
Right.
You know, this is a tough concept. I just know as we're speaking that there are people out there in law enforcement that are listening that perhaps are in denial, and maybe they've got a problem, and they need to, you know, kind of take that first step to getting treatment. And I want to talk about that a little bit. And if that's not you, you know, the other people that are out there are those that are going to be the first to notice the signs. And sometimes it's not the officer themselves that's going to make the commitment to go into treatment. Sometimes we need to do an intervention, and the people that love them and care about them, whether it's their family and their spouse or their supervisor or their peers, sometimes somebody else has to speak up and get somebody to admit they've got a problem and get into treatment. So let's talk a little bit about the process of getting there. And I know we have all kinds of issues with insurance and things, and I'll let you wade through that. But I wanted to mention Safe Call Now since we're here, even though that
absolutely.
Can you want to do that, please?
Yes. One of our staff people that is in charge of our IT put out a tweet on Twitter.
Whatever
that is.
Okay.
I'm 63, and that's kind of beyond me, or I'm beyond it. But this fella named Sean Riley up here in Seattle,
amazing person,
picks up on it and sends back a message on the website there saying it looks like we have something in common that we need to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was forwarded to me at home, and I was watching the Texas Rangers play baseball on Saturday night, sitting there nice and comfy in my den with my wife, and I get this forwarded message. I go on the web and look at Safe Call Now while I'm watching the ball game out of one eye, and look at Safe Call Now the other eye, and I think, my God, here he goes again, God.
Yeah, funny how that works.
And I immediately saw the connection, because Safe Call Now is all about finding the right place for the particular problem that an officer or their family is facing.
Yeah.
And so I sent back an email message to this stranger named Sean Riley and said, we need to get together and talk real soon. Well, within 5 minutes, he was calling.
That's how he works.
And I'd been looking for an excuse to come to Seattle, because a longtime friend of mine that we got our Eagle Scouts together when we were in junior high school, hadn't seen each other in over 40 years. I knew he lived up here, and so I thought, you know what, it'd be good to see my old buddy, and I'll just hop on a plane. And so I asked my wife to come with me, and we came up, and I wanted to meet this guy, Sean, face-to-face and see if he was for real. And just became immediately impressed, and actually wound up going with Sean from here to Nashville, where he was scheduled to speak to an undercover officers association meeting in Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to see him work and be amongst the officers, and became more and more convinced of his sincerity. It has just been a relationship that is, it bonded immediately, and is only getting stronger. And, you know, no one facility can be all things to all people.
Right.
And so certainly we look forward to receiving referrals from Safe Connell mm-hmm. when it's appropriate.
Yep.
But at the same time, Sean is very objective and will be referring officers to the right place for their particular circumstance.
Yeah. Let me plug Safe Call, because those of you that don't know, you can check on our Cops Alive site. We did an interview with Sean Riley last year or even the year before it. They're operating a hotline for law enforcement and actually all first responders here in Washington. But because of the nature of what they're doing and the laws that protect them in Washington, they're available to people across the United States, and their confidentiality laws, based on where the hotline is operated, will protect you even though they may not be in a city near you. And that hotline number, I'm going to rattle this off the top of my head, but I believe it is 206, area code 206, 459-3020 is truly that. It's a safe call you can make, and the people that answer on the other end are first responders themselves, so they know where you've been and they know what you're going through. And there may be a lot of ways for you to reach out, but that's one of the best. And Richard will tell you in a few minutes, you know, how to get in touch with Eagle Force directly and how to learn more about them. But Safe Call is truly for first responders, by first responders, and maybe the first step you want to take if you're not sure what's going on with you.
Well, John, if anybody has any doubt about the credibility of Safe Call Now, they just have to go to the website, safecallnow.org,
yep.
and see the tremendous support from people in very high places within the government of the state of Washington that have banded together to get this confidentiality law passed here in Washington that yep. protects the confidentiality of anybody calling in from anywhere in the United States.
Yep.
And that is so important, because Safe Call is not a licensed facility. They're not counselors. Right. They're not into the treatment business per se.
Mm-hmm.
And so as such, don't necessarily fall under some of the regulatory laws that protect confidentiality. But here in the state of Washington, thank God that they had enough fortitude and sense to pass this law unanimously in the legislature to give that confidentiality, the same confidentiality, to someone that contacts Safe Call Now as any HIPAA law or any federal law or any state law.
Yep. Yeah, and if you are at all in question about, you know, if you're thinking you need treatment and you're listening to this, but you're afraid of losing your job or what it's going to do to your job, you know, we just heard from a panel of people that have been through this and successfully gone through treatment and have kept their jobs and are better and stronger for it. You need to not let that be the obstacle to you getting into treatment. And go on Safe Call's website and check out the law and do your homework, but don't let that be your excuse. Because, you know, at Cops Alive, we are all about making you better and stronger and helping you survive your career to live happily ever after. I know that sounds like a joke, but it's really not. It's a goal. And too many cops die too young and burn out too early, and this career can be toxic. And so we're always looking for resources like Safe Call, like Eagle Force Academy, because we want you to have the information so that you don't go too far. And you know, the trick here is getting treatment before it's too late. You know, we won't belabor the police suicide stats that are out, you know, over the top. Lots of people ahead of you have gotten treatment. They have gotten out of their addiction, whatever it happens to be. Some cops have an addiction to gambling, and some of them overeat, and some of them overexercise. But the big number one, I think everybody would agree, is alcohol and or painkillers and pills. And it's so easy to get caught in that trap. You get injured on the job, you get prescribed something, and it gets out of control, and then you're afraid you're going to lose your job, and everything cycles out of control. So let's be real here. It's not the end. It is the beginning. You can get help, and Richard and all the people that he represents are there for you. So, yeah, jump in. What else do they need to know?
Well, I'm quite often asked, what about the financial part of it?
Oh, there you go. Okay, thank you.
And At Summer Sky, we presently have managed care contracts with approximately 30 major insurance companies, and we will have contracts with all those same Blue Cross and Aetna and UBH okay. And, you know, just go down the list. And we will have contracts with those where insurance will cover the vast majority of it. There are situations, I've been told, where an officer is afraid to file it on their insurance because of afraid that within their department, it will get, the word will get out through the Human Resources Department, even though they shouldn't, they do.
Yep.
And so for those that would rather not use their insurance, we're very affordably priced and we'll work with the officer. We have some third-party financial companies that will do financing, and if for some reason that doesn't work, we will work with the officer to finance it and ourselves. I mean, we don't want to see money be the final barrier to an officer getting treated.
Yeah.
And the total cost of our program is less than $15,000.
You guys spend more than that on big screen TVs and cars and boats and everything else. I mean, this is your life we're talking about here.
And that's on a cash pay basis. Of course, if it's insurance, it's the deductible and copay.
Yep.
And another thing, some people think, well, you're way down there in Texas, you know, for folks up here in Washington or wherever in the country you may be listening. I'm very fortunate in that over 20 years ago, I bought a lifetime air pass on American Airlines that allows me to travel without any cash outlay. I have on a number of occasions gone and picked up patients and officers. Right now, we have some officers in treatment at Summer Sky right now because their situation wouldn't allow them to wait until January till we get Eagle Force. So we're doing the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
It's not ideal. It's not Eagle Force. But it's better than just doing nothing right here, right now, because the rate of suicide in this country for officers is at least one a day.
Yeah.
And there could be 60 officers between now and the time we get this open, and that just doesn't have to be.
Yeah. You know, it's not just suicide. I mean, there's all this argument about, you know, the real police suicide stats. Give me a break. The bottom line here is we have a problem, and we as a profession need to fix it before somebody makes us fix it. And my feeling is suicide is a symptom, but alcohol abuse, drug abuse, divorce, gambling problems. I mean, there are just so many things, financial mismanagement. And then you look at, you know, heart attack and cancer. This career will eat away at you one way or the other. And there are so many cops that get themselves into an addiction process. And there's also, I understand, some coupling between PTSD and addiction. Sometimes the addiction is there in advance. Sometimes the addiction spawns itself out of an excessive stress that might actually be diagnosed as PTSD. And that's one thing your facility is specializing in. Is that not right? That
absolutely.
You are conscious of those issues.
Absolutely.
And can deal with multiple issues at once.
Yes. I mean, we refer to it as dual diagnosis
or
co-occurring disorders or co-occurring morbidity.
Okay.
There are several different references, but if the primary problem is the drugs or alcohol and the secondary issues are the co-occurring disorders, then under our license with the state of Texas, then we are authorized to treat those issues.
Okay, and have some expertise. I mean, you know, I want to reassure the people listening that, you know, this is about taking care of you and maybe your spouse or family member. It's about taking care of the people you love, and maybe you're a coworker or a peer, and this is about, you know, this is about that old thing about we're a big family. Well, we're really trying to take care of each other here. And I know one of the big fears is that the agency will let you, you know, hang high and dry because they don't want to have anything to do with you. And the laws are changing such that that's not the case anymore. And the processes are so much better. And now Eagle Force is an opportunity to be completely with your peers, talking to people that understand. And really, in my opinion, there are no more excuses. It's time that if you've got an issue, it needs to be dealt with, and this is the path. You just have to have the courage to take that first step.
Absolutely, and we will be there to help every step of the way.
I want to thank you for what you're doing. I want to thank you for your commitment to our profession. You know, sometimes we think that we're out there all alone, and we forget that the community really supports what we do, and there are so many signs and symptoms of that, but sometimes we just don't recognize when they're right there in our face. But, you know, thank you for the commitment you've made to law enforcement professionals, and I appreciate that.
Well, some of this is perhaps out of some sort of subconscious guilt, because I started, like I said, I started my career as assistant district attorney for Dallas, Texas, and used to kind of brag to my friends about having seen everything that man could do to himself and to other men. And I have come to realize over the last several months that I didn't see squat, because all I ever saw were sterile pictures in the courtroom, and I would go home at night, you know, and not have any stress or anything from the day, really.
Yeah.
And I have really, even with that experience, it's only been recently that I have really come to realize just how difficult the job of being a peace officer is. And if I was that unaware, I know the general public is unaware.
Yeah.
And you know, why does an officer sometimes overreact to the smallest thing dealing with a traffic stop? People don't have any idea of what preceded that incident.
Yeah, maybe by years and years even.
Yes, it the cumulative stress builds up and builds up and builds up until the pot boils over. Now, another thing that I didn't realize until just recently is that the rate of suicide amongst retired officers is much greater than that of active officers.
Yep.
And that it was so shocking to me to find out. And so this did not start out with the idea of treating retired officers. It started out with the idea of just treating active officers. But it has expanded from what I refer to as hired, fired, or retired.
Yep, I like that.
And they all can learn from each other. And in many instances, officers' careers can be patched up, and they may not be able to be commissioned again, for whatever reason, depending upon the jurisdiction and the laws of their particular state and the rules of their department.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are other positions within law enforcement, perhaps, that they can get back into and not lose their retirement and their pension and still be able to actively contribute as a law enforcement officer.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I hear from that loud and clear is don't delay. You know, if you've got a problem, it does compound itself, and it does get worse, and it does get harder to manage. And I've heard that from so many officers that have been there. So you don't have to believe me. You can find the facts for yourself. But, you know, this is the kind of thing that you have to nip in the bud as early as you can. And unfortunately, so many people, not just cops, but people that are facing addiction issues, they just are in denial, and they don't want to face the facts. And you know, everybody around you can see it. Your family can see it, your children, your spouse. And you're usually the last to admit it, but this is a good excuse to prompt you to do something early. And if you're really sincerely worried about your career, deal with it now and don't wait, because it will spiral out of control.
And if you're the loved one of an officer that doesn't know how to handle this situation, don't hesitate to contact Safe Call now.
Yep.
Don't hesitate to contact us. You can contact us at our 24-hour hotline, which is answered by our staff. It's not answered by a call center or recording.
Thank you.
We have our trained staff that answers 24 hours a day. And our number is 888-857-8857. The website for Eagle Force right now is not a fully active website until we get all the construction done.
Mm-hmm.
But it is eagleforceacademy.com. Summer Skies is summersky.us.
Okay.
And we have interventionists. We have arrangements with interventionists across the country. Safe Call Now has interventionists. And so if you as a family member need help getting the attention of your loved one, we can be of great help that way. And
glad you said that.
It is so important. I heard from speakers on the panel today,
mm-hmm.
whose careers were saved because people cared enough to intervene and to plan interventions. And one of the officers who is still an active officer as a result of it said that once he started hearing the letters, he heard one and said, "I'll go into treatment just not to have to hear the rest of those letters."
Yeah.
And lo and behold, treatment saved his life and saved his career. And he's a tough undercover officer that broke down crying telling his story.
Yeah.
And it's a story that's repeated, unfortunately, every day throughout this country.
All across the country. And now, thanks to this panel today, I now know two officers that actually attempted suicide and, by the grace of God, were not successful. And both of them are still active duty law enforcement officers because they got into treatment, in this case, not even voluntarily. But nonetheless, you know, their path led them to successfully navigate their problems, and both have told me they're stronger for it. And, you know, that's what this is really about. We all are cops because we want to make a difference. We want to do the best job we can. Sometimes we lose sight of that path, and yet these kinds of processes sometimes will make you even stronger. And, you know, I've heard lots of great quotes on that, but sometimes you have to sort of look into that darkness before you can actually see the light. And I can speak from my personal firsthand experience that, you know, you will be stronger for it. So, you know, thank you for what you're doing. What else do we need to know? We've got the contact information, and I will put that on the website also so people can click straight through.
I think for right now, this probably covers the subject.
All right. You know, thank you very much for what you're doing, and I thank you for being a guest on the audio bulletin for Cops Alive.
Well, John, I thank you for the opportunity to get the word out, because it does no good to have a great program or a great product or whatever you have if people don't know about it.
Yep.
And through this, I know and have faith and trust that lives will be saved. Families will be saved.
Careers
will be saved. The rippling effect of this is just beyond belief. And I just thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me.
It's my pleasure, and that gives me a thought. You know, if you're listening, please spread the word. Visit EagleForceAcademy.com. Visit SafeCallNow.org. You know, spread the word. It may not be you, but this, you know, this is a pay it forward thing too. And we've got to take care of each other. And I agree with Richard. We need to spread the word so other people know and will be safe and will be saved by that. So I thank you, Richard, for being our guest.
Just one more final thought.
Jump in.
Something you just said reminded me of this, but Sergeant Mitchell had put together a presentation for the Fort Worth PD,
uh-huh.
And the title of it is, "You Are Your Brother's Keeper."
Hallelujah. And that is so true.
And I think perhaps that is a good note to end on, is for everyone out there to realize you are your brother's keeper. And sisters, too.
Yeah. Thank you very much. This is John Marks, the editor of CopsAlive.com. You have been listening to another edition of our Cops Alive audio bulletin. We try to bring you the best resources and information to help you navigate through your career successfully. Our mission is to help law enforcement professionals plan for and create happy, healthy, and successful lives, both on the job in law enforcement and beyond those jobs. And I'm going to close by saying stay safe out there and listen for another edition of Cops Alive Audio Bulletin. Take care.